You please turn with me now in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 19. Those visiting in our morning services, we have been continuing to work through the Gospel of Luke. We come this morning to Luke chapter 19. We'll be reading verses 1 through 10, and that will be our text for this morning. Be reminded that as we come and we hear God's word read and preached, it is God speaking to us, particularly in the reading of his word. And so this is God speaking to us as people. We'll begin in Luke chapter 19 and verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Let us now pray. What a glorious statement that you made to us, Jesus, that you, the Son of Man, have come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, that is us. We are those who are lost without you. But we are the very people that you came to save. Comfort our hearts today with this truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I looked ahead at what I would be preaching this week and saw that it was about Zacchaeus, a song came into my head. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. I think you can finish that, at least some of you. A wee little man was he. Goes on, he climbed up in a sycamore tree, the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your house today, for I'm going to your house today. Now, you can thank me later for getting that song stuck in your head, but it's been stuck in my head all week, so I figured I would just share that with you. Now, Zacchaeus was apparently a short man, something that I sympathize with. I also am vertically challenged. I recently did a wedding. Many of you were there. And in the rehearsal, they said, are we going to be able to even see the pastor? Because everybody in the bridal party was very tall. I said, don't worry about it. I'm not the one that you need to see. So I sympathize with him. Apparently, this man who was short had some climbing skills. He was able to get up this tree. And he wanted to see Jesus. But what is most important about this story is not Zacchaeus's height or his climbing ability or even his desire to see Jesus. What is most important about this story is not that he was seeking to see Jesus, but that Jesus was seeking to save him. Not that he was seeking to see Jesus, but that Jesus was seeking to save him. You may not be like me and Zacchaeus, short of stature, but we're all short on righteousness. Very short. We fall short, far short of the glory of God. We have a problem, don't we? We're sinners. We need Jesus to seek and to save us. We need Jesus to come as he did to Zacchaeus and come to us. Jesus says here, and we'll get to this in a moment, he doesn't ask Zacchaeus, is it okay if I come to your house? He says, I must come to your house. This is why I came, to seek and to save the lost. He did it with Zacchaeus. He's done it with countless people since then. And guess what? He'll do it with you. He'll do it with you. Now, Jesus, as we come to this section of Luke, Jesus is now inside Jericho. He's entered and he's passing through Jericho. And we have to know a little bit about Jericho. Jericho was a beautiful place. This time it was like a little paradise. It had a wonderful climate. Along the streets were planted trees. It had palm trees, sycamore trees, rose gardens. Even before Herod the Great and his son Archelaus made it into a more beautiful place, it was a place where people would go and gather. Herod built a grand palace there, also a theater, and an ancient Greek stadium for horse racing and chariot racing. And so this was a thriving city, a beautiful city. It was a place that you would want to go visit. It was also a trade route. Many trades came through here, and so it would have been a wealthy place. In fact, as I was studying for this sermon, I read that Mark Anthony, so beautiful was this place that Mark Anthony had given the city to the Egyptian queen Cleopatra as a token of his affection. This is the Jericho that Jesus is now entering. But as he enters into Jericho, he meets a man. Now, it's interesting, there's a contrast here, or a connection. We looked last time as chapter 18 ended, that Jesus met a man, a blind man. A blind man who then was given salvation by Jesus. This blind man was a poor man. A poor man becomes a follower of Jesus. Here we meet another man. He's not blind and he's not poor, he's rich. But he also, like the poor blind man, is seen by Jesus, is acknowledged by Jesus, and is saved by Jesus. You see here what Jesus does? Poor, rich, blind, tax collector. He's all about saving people from all different walks of life. No one is excluded from Jesus' work. Now, Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. He had probably heard about Jesus. He had heard about what Jesus had done. He's short. He can't see over the crowd. He runs, climbs up a sycamore tree. But again, as I said earlier, the most important thing here is that Jesus was already seeking Zacchaeus. Jesus had already seen Zacchaeus because that's what he came to do. He came to seek and save the lost. And so here's what I want you to understand. If you desire to see Jesus, it is because Jesus first desired to seek and save you. If you desire to see Jesus, it's because Jesus first desired to seek and to save you. Let's look at this interaction that Jesus has with Zacchaeus. As we think about Jesus coming to seek and save lost people like us. When Jesus seeks and saves a lost person, he doesn't demand a background check. Now, he knows our backgrounds. And Zacchaeus would have failed a background check miserably, big time. Look at who Zacchaeus is. Verse 2, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. He was a chief tax collector. Now, tax collectors were not liked by the Jews. They were seen as traitors. They were seen as those who started working for the Roman government and taking money from God's people. And not only that, he was a dishonest tax collector. In verse 8, he says, if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, the Greek here is written in such a way that this is a condition that is assumed as true. If, and I have, taken from people by false accusation. He's admitting his guilt. I've done it. I'm a crook. It's interesting because the name Zacchaeus means righteous one. How ironic. And yet he says, nope, I'm a crook. I have stolen from God's people. One commentator put it like this, because think about it, Zacchaeus had to do with figures, money. One commentator put it like this, figures don't lie, but liars do figure. And oh, Zacchaeus, he was figuring things out. He was figuring out how to become rich off the backs of others. Easy to do in this wealthy area. He was a chief tax collector. He was over other tax collectors. And he was in Jericho, a place where wealth was plentiful. In fact, Josephus, the historian, said of balsam, which was traded in this area, that it was the most precious thing there is. This balsam was a fragrant, soothing, and highly regarded for its healing purposes. And so there would have been a lot of taxes on this trade. And as a chief tax collector, Zacchaeus would have benefited from this. And then he was padding his pockets by dishonest gain. And so it's not surprising that we read, after we find out that he was a chief tax collector, that he was rich. He was a rich man. So if we think about his background check, he's got a couple of strikes against him. He's a chief tax collector, a dishonest one at that, and he's rich. Now, what did we learn about rich people before? Look with me back at chapter 18, verse 24. Remember, the rich ruler comes to Jesus. Jesus says, sell all that you have. And when this man heard it, he went away from Jesus. He left Jesus. And Jesus, when he saw that, he became very sorrowful. And he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. So I hope you see Zacchaeus here. If we look at him, he's not stacking up well. Chief tax collector, a dishonest one, and a rich man. And Jesus is accused of failing to check his background. Look at verse 7. When they saw that Jesus says, I am going to go to your house, this is the crowds, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Jesus is going to go and visit the house of a sinner, a chief tax collector, one who is dishonest, one who is rich. Really, Jesus? But you know what? Jesus knew exactly who Zacchaeus was. He knew exactly who Zacchaeus was. He knew his background, and yet he said, I must come to your house. He's going to say, salvation is going to come to your house. Why? Look with me at verse 9. He also is a son of Abraham. Now, there speaks a physical lineage. He was a Jew. He came by natural descent from Abraham, but also, as Paul tells us in Galatians 3, verses 9 and 29, one who is truly a son or a daughter of Abraham is one who has faith like Abraham. There's a physical and a spiritual component to this. He too was a son of Abraham. He too was a lost sheep of Israel, the very one Jesus came to save. Now, Jesus knew his background, and therefore Jesus knew that he was certainly qualified because he was lost. That's what qualified Zacchaeus. He was lost. He was a lost sinner. And what a beautiful picture we have here. Here we have a very illustration of what Jesus said was very hard to do. Impossible with man. Here we have a camel going through the eye of a needle, don't we? It wasn't because Zacchaeus was short that he made it through. It was because God did it. In fact, when those heard that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God, they responded with, who then can be saved? And Jesus said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And here we see that possibility working its way out as Zacchaeus, a rich man, is brought into the kingdom. We might put it this way, God can save chief tax collectors just as easily as he can save the chief of sinners. There is no one who is outside of God's reach of salvation. And so don't be so quick to put people out there. Oh, that person certainly, no way. Jesus didn't do that with Zacchaeus. And don't be so quick to put yourself outside of it. You see, the door of hope is wide open. The gospel offers this to all who will believe. Don't ever think that you are too sinful to be saved by Jesus. Though your sins be as scarlet, Scripture says, they will be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's the promise that God gives. So when Jesus seeks and saves a lost person, he doesn't do a background check and say, well, only if you meet these qualifications. He already knows the person. He knew Zacchaeus. He knew that he met the qualifications because he was lost. But also, when Jesus seeks and saves a lost person, he takes the initiative. Now, it may seem to us that we take the initiative. We may say, well, I believed. That's true. But notice here, it is Jesus who takes the initiative. Yes, Zacchaeus, he climbed the tree. He was in the right place at the right time. It's interesting to note that often salvation hinges on very small things. Zacchaeus climbed a tree, and Jesus saw him and said, I'm coming to your house today. As I was studying this and reading through some of the commentaries, one commentator brought out a very interesting point that I want to share with you. He said, don't think that the salvation of others does not depend on very small, what we might think of as inconsequential things. Inviting someone to church. Simply saying, come to church. Puts them in the tree. And it may be the very tree that Jesus is passing by that day. These little things. He climbed the tree. He was in the right place at the right time. But here's the reality. Jesus saw Zacchaeus long before Zacchaeus saw Jesus. This is not the first time that Jesus saw someone by a tree. Remember Nathanael? I saw you under the fig tree. What? When did you see me under the fig tree? Oh, Jesus has seen Zacchaeus. And like Nathanael, Jesus knows him by name. He calls out. He looks up. He stops. He calls out, Zacchaeus. He knows him by name. Why? Because the names of his people are written in his book. If you're his, he knows you by name. He has called you by name. He looks up to him and he says, Zacchaeus. Jesus here takes the initiative. Zacchaeus climbed the tree, but Zacchaeus wasn't up there waving his hands going, Jesus, Jesus, stop. No, Jesus stopped. Jesus looked up. Jesus said, Zacchaeus. Jesus said, I must come to your house today. Come down here quickly. Now, can you imagine what this would have looked like if Jesus had not taken the initiative? We're not told, but picture this. One commentator puts it this way. Can you imagine Zacchaeus talking with Mrs. Zacchaeus over supper that night? So I got up in the tree, he says, and Jesus went by on the road, not 20 feet from me. And he went on his way to Jerusalem, but at least I got a good look at him. You see, such an imagined scenario pictures what it would have been like if Jesus had not taken the initiative. Salvation didn't come to his house because Zacchaeus desired it to come. Salvation came to his house because Jesus said it must come. I must come to your house. This is why I'm here, to seek and to save the lost. What we learn from this is that Zacchaeus was not an afterthought to God, nor are any who God saves. Jesus didn't just happen as he was walking through Jericho to look up and say, well, that's strange. There's this very short man in a very tall tree. I better call out to him. What's his name? Nudges somebody in the crowd. Who's the short guy? Well, that's the chief tax collector, Zacchaeus. Don't talk to him. No. Jesus had already pre-planned this meeting. He knew that Zacchaeus was going to be up in the tree. He knew his name. He called out to him. There are no accidental meetings when it comes to Jesus. If you have encountered Jesus, if he has called your name, it was not an accident. He planned it. It was his purpose for you. And again, as I said earlier, Jesus doesn't ask Zacchaeus, hey, Zacchaeus, do you mind if I come to your house? In like manner, Jesus doesn't ask us, do you mind if I turn your heart of stone to a heart of flesh? Will you give me permission to do it? He does it. He does whatever he pleases. He's God in heaven. Because we would not desire it. If God asked us, hey, do you want me to turn your heart of stone into a heart of flesh? We'd say, no, I like my heart of stone. But God doesn't ask permission. He does it. He causes us to be born again, to see, to know. And he does that with Zacchaeus. And he gives him a personal invitation. He calls him by name, and he says, Zacchaeus, make haste and hurry and come down. Now, we're not told what Zacchaeus did. But as I was thinking about this, I think Zacchaeus came down quicker than he went up. Now, we're told that he ran ahead quickly. These sycamore trees had low branches, so he would have been able to get up even with his height deficiency. He would have been able to get up in this tree. But I think that as quick as he ran ahead and as quick as he climbed up that tree, he was quicker in coming down. He may have even jumped the last little bit. I don't know. But he came down because Jesus was calling him. Jesus was calling him to himself. And this is a personal invitation that Jesus gives. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay not at your neighbor's house, at your house. Wow. At your house. They will do this for you. What does Jesus say? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. It's personal, isn't it? Jesus takes the initiative. And not only that, but this initiative spills over into the entire household. Later he'll say in verse 9, today salvation has come, not simply to Zacchaeus, but to this house. See, God works in covenant. Oh, children, if you have been born into a family with at least one believing parent, but hopefully two, you are richly blessed. Lay hold of that blessing. Lay hold of the blessing. God calls you to it. Salvation has come to this house. Isn't that a wondrous thing that God desires not only to our salvation, but our children's salvation? It's a beautiful thing. And Jesus takes the initiative, coming after us when we continually are prone to wander away from him. Come, thou fount of every blessing, says, Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the face of God. He, to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. When did he come? When did he do it? He took the initiative when we would not. He came. So when Jesus seeks and saves a person, he takes the initiative. But then, thirdly, Jesus, when he seeks and saves a person, he changes that person. He always changes that person. We see that change happening in Zacchaeus. Now, it's interesting to note how Jesus changes a person. Jesus does not change a person by beating them over the head with the law. Jesus didn't stop along the way and look up and say, Zacchaeus, you are a cheat and a traitor of your people. You're going to face the wrath of God come down so I can give it to you. That would have caused Zacchaeus to quickly climb further up the tree, not quickly come down. We don't find Zacchaeus trying to quickly climb up the tree to get away from an angry Jesus, or falling out of the tree dead at the voice of Jesus, or scrambling down the tree to grovel at the feet of Jesus as the demons did who pleaded with him not to send them. Not to send them into the very pits of Sheol. Now hear me, the threat of the law will only make people resent God and his commands. It's the love of Jesus that makes people want to follow them. That's what Jesus shows here. Thomas Chalmers calls this work of God in the heart in which his love is made manifest to us, the expulsive power of a new affection. We have a new affection for God, and that expels all of these other things. In fact, if you want to be free of sin, yes, we need to resist sin, but the key is to grow in your love for Christ, because that will start to expel sin. That's that expulsive power. Jesus changes a person by revealing the love of God to them. And notice how Zacchaeus changes. He changes into a person who welcomes Jesus with joy. We're told that Zacchaeus, when he heard this, he came down and he received him joyfully. I don't know what Zacchaeus' house looked like, but he didn't care if it was a mess. He knew his life was a mess. He said, come, I receive you with joy. And that's a question that I put to you. Is Jesus a welcome guest in your home and in your heart? If someone visited your house, would they say, I can tell that Jesus is welcome here? Because Jesus was welcome this house. Does the fact that Jesus is present here today as we're gathered as his people quicken your steps and make you want to joyfully receive him? He changes Zacchaeus from a covetous person, a greedy person, into a thankful and a generous person. It's interesting. Look at what Zacchaeus says in verse 8. He stood and said to the Lord. Now there are others around, but he just focuses on the Lord. He's seeing Jesus, and he says to him, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. Not I have, but now, this is present tense, now I am giving half of my goods to the poor. That's a lot. This was a rich man. Sure, he had more than I do, but can you imagine? Go and take 50% of everything you have, 50% of your retirement account, 50% of your home's equity, 50% of whatever it is right now, and just give it to the poor. And just so they know that he is not giving of ill-gotten gains, he said, if I have, and remember we looked at this earlier, I have taken things from people by false accusation, I restore fourfold. He puts himself in the place of a thief. In Exodus chapter 22, verses 1 through 4, we see the law telling the children of Israel what they should do if they find someone has stolen, and they should restore five times or four times, or even double in some cases. In fact, if the possession is found with the person, they're to restore double. Here he says, I'm going to double that. I'm going to do it fourfold. I'm going beyond the law in restoring what I have taken. This is a changed heart. Hear me in this. How we handle our money says a lot about what is going on in our hearts. God doesn't need our money. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. But he wants to free us from it because he's concerned about our hearts. What we give to the church tells us a lot about our hearts. I get concerned when I see somebody gives nothing. I say, what's going on? Do they know the truth of what Zacchaeus knew, what they have been given by God? Changes a person from a person who commits sin wantonly to a person who wants to make things right. I restore fourfold. This repentance by Zacchaeus is followed up by action. He's changed from a thief into an honest person. But know this. Salvation didn't come to his house because he did these things. He did these things because salvation had already come to his house. Jesus just recognizes that. He doesn't say, salvation has come to this house because Zacchaeus has given half of his goods to the poor or because he's restoring fourfold. He says, salvation has come to this house because he also is a son of Abraham, not because of what he has done, but because of who he is. And this is what Jesus came to do. The last thing I want you to see is that when Jesus seeks and saves a lost person, he accomplishes what he came to do. He brings this out in verse 10. For the Son of Man, that favorite title that he gives to himself, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Seek and save. What a beautiful truth we have. Memorize this verse. Quote it to yourself also often. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. What qualifies you to partake of this? Your lostness. Because that's who Jesus came to seek and to save. He came to seek the lost. The lost here is literally the perishing ones. We are all born perishing, dying, and apart from the work of God in us by His Spirit, apart from the work of Christ on the cross for us, we will die in eternity, continually perishing. He came to save the perishing ones. And Jesus seeks those who are not worthy of being sought. You and I are not worthy of being sought, but He seeks us. He saves the lost. He saves those who are not worthy of being saved. It's very close to going to the cross. Jericho is very close to Jerusalem. In fact, in just a few days, the good shepherd is going to lay down his life for the sheep. And guess what? Zacchaeus is included in that number. The question is, are you included in that number? For Jesus came. He is the great shepherd of the sheep. And here we see him finding a lost lamb. Finding a lost lamb. As he looked up in that tree and he saw Zacchaeus and he said to Zacchaeus, come down. I must come to your house. I must. It is a divine imperative that I come and visit you because your house is slated for salvation. It's been planned from before the foundation of the world. I'm here to enact it. This is why I have come. Luke, in recording this for us, reminds us that God saves some of the most unlikely people. Chief tax collector, dishonest, rich man, And yet he did what is humanly impossible. He did the equivalent of a camel going through the eye of a needle in saving Zacchaeus. You see the power of God in salvation. Jesus came to him with salvation. He says, come down, Zacchaeus, I want to abide with you. Now, if salvation can come to this man and to this man's house, it certainly can come to anyone. It's a key message here. But again, here's what I want you to think about. The question is not, am I seeking Jesus or have I found Jesus? The question is, has Jesus found me? Has Jesus found me? Has Jesus called out to me? Am I a son or a daughter of Abraham? A spiritual child of God? How do you know? Do you have faith like Abraham? Have you laid hold of Christ by faith? Are you trusting in Him alone for your salvation? That is how you know. And from that will flow these other things. You will see a change in your life. If God has come in, and remember, He doesn't ask your permission. If He has come in and changed your heart from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, it will start beating with love for God and love for others. Like Zacchaeus' heart started to beat. I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone, I'll make restitution fourfold. It'll be evident in our lives when Jesus calls us. 1 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Let me tell you this. Rest assured that if you desire, as Zacchaeus did, if you desire to see Jesus, He has already had a desire to seek and to save you. And that's a great comfort, isn't it? If you desire to see Him, then He has already shown that He has the desire to seek and to save you. And He made that happen. He died for sinners like you and me. He was raised to justify sinners like you and me. And in a few moments, we're going to see this great visible sign of our redemption as we partake of the Lord's Supper. How are we to respond to all of this? Well, Zacchaeus, if Jesus is the model Savior, Zacchaeus might be the model saint. How are we to respond? With generosity. With the desire to make right what has been wrong. With joyful reception of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, work this in us by your Holy Spirit, that we might know that it is not our initiative or our desire that has brought salvation to us, but it is the fact that you have come to seek and to save the lost. We who were once perishing, who have come to faith in Christ, now stand in eternal gratitude to you for all that you have done. Turn us into people who are generous with all that we have, who are joyful as we receive you, who seek to repent quickly, to make right what has been wrong. And we ask that you would do this in Jesus' name. Amen.